Hello, and welcome back to the Now Age podcast with me, Ruby Warrington. So we're 3 weeks into 2019, which means it's already time for our Aquarius season Astrocast with Illuminous resident astrologers Bess Matassa and Sandy Citron. The sun goes into Aquarius on Sunday, January 20th, and it's the time of the year to look up from our personal missions, what we've been kind of mining in Capricorn season, and to refocus on the goals that we share as a collective. It's a time to think about what's my role in my community and where are we all going together. This year, we also have a Leo full moon lunar eclipse, which means emotions will be running high and people might be a little bit extra. Bess and Sandy will go into what to expect from this in depth at the beginning of the episode. This actually feels very fitting for the vibe of 2019 so far. Maybe it's because I just had a book out and I'm in launch mode, but I feel like we really hit the ground running this year. Of course, we've also had Mars, planet of action and passion, in its home sign of Aries since January 1st. And I don't know about you, this transit's been bringing up a lot of anger for me. This is not really an emotion that I've been very comfortable with in the past, but lately I've been experiencing anger in what feels like a healthy way, and really realizing that expressing our anger is what protects us from being taken advantage of or people not following through on their promises. It's totally okay to be feeling that way. In fact, it's very necessary. The other themes of the coming season are about finding ease and enjoyment in self-expression and getting creative with our visualization. Overall, it's a time for some fresh perspectives and possibilities. The specific transits Bess and Sandy will be discussing in this episode include that Leo full moon eclipse on January 24th, as well as the February 4th new moon in the sign of Aquarius, Mercury's journey through Aquarius and Pisces, Venus's shift into Capricorn, and Mars making a move into Taurus and stabilizing some of that passionate forward motion that we've been feeling. The beginning of Chiron's transit through Aries. This is quite a big shift. And again, Bess and Sandy will be talking about what that means in depth. I hope you enjoy this episode and keep listening at the end for some exciting announcements from us.
Welcome to the Astrocast. It's Bess Matassa
and Sandy Citron,
your resident astrologers at the Numinous, and we're here to give you an overview of the cosmic season ahead. Coming to the end of Capricorn season and diving into the electricity and the antics of Aquarius season, and we're going to give you all of the key transits and energetic readings that hopefully will help you navigate this really exciting pop rocks season. But before we do that, we want to give a little bit of a review, check in about the icy wilds of Capricorn season. Sandy, how's it been?
Well, I had a very, I guess I'm still in it now as of this recording, but it's been very the quintessential Capricorn season in that I got a 90-day goal planner book. Ooh. And I've been using it, which is beyond for me. It's next level to do that. And I've been really feeling like if I plan it and I follow through and I get the steps right, then I can achieve my goals. And I've been feeling pretty on it.
Yeah.
Which is good. It's something that I need in my life and it's something that I'm always striving for. But in the past, I felt really confused about or disconcerted, as you know, and now with this book, I'm like, I know what I'm doing.
Right.
I'm
the
good.
Container. You've created the container.
Yeah.
I feel like the last time I saw you, you were wearing a sweatband or something too. You were looking really sporty.
Oh yeah. I've been totally working out.
Yeah.
I've been working, which has been helping my bones, my skeleton. Capricorn rules the skeleton. So yeah. So I've had, I'm feeling stronger and everything's feeling more aligned. Feeling
amazing.
Good. I know. Amazing. I feel good.
Yeah. Great. Really doing it. Doing it right. Capricorn season. Yeah. I think that I definitely have had a very classic Capricorn season. It's been classic edition, complete with a lot of confrontations with reality and the contours of reality. And it's got me thinking a lot, and I think we spoke about it in the last podcast, about that notion of source and where the locus of authority lives, and that being a very Capricornian theme. I had a lot of kind of confronting moments early on in Capricorn season with, you know, sources of income suddenly disappearing overnight, or, you know, receiving like crazy medical bills and like these like very harsh kind of like come to earth, crash into the plane of the earth moments. And I was reeling in the early moments of those and, you know, freaking out and like in this kind of scrambling scarcity mode. And then I started to just feel into like, well, what's the source here? Like, where am I kind of putting the locus of authority? Like, no one is my source of income. Like, no thing is like the source of the pain or the source of the pleasure. And just like kind of remapping where authority lives in my body. So I've started toward the end of Capricorn season now to kind of come out of my black hole of, you know, of ice rain and enter into this, what you're talking about, this kind of more fortified place of like, build it, fortify it, kind of a vitamin supplement of Capricorn season, and remap where I place authority.
What is it that allowed you to do that?
To go, move from the one to the other? You know, I think it was almost like the feeling of clearing. Like there was almost like this shocking quality. It almost felt like a precursor to some of the shocks that we feel like sometimes happen in Aquarius season with Uranus. But it was almost like this overnight, like, okay, you get the bill in the mail, you get the email being like, we can't, you know, you can't do this job anymore, whatever the thing is. And it was almost so shocking to the system, but it also, there was like a forced clearing that kind of happened, and there was a stillness. It was almost like, all right, nothing to do, nowhere to go. You just have to sort of be with yourself in this moment. But it also exposed some of the underpinnings that weren't constructed solidly anyway. Like it exposed the bones that were already beneath in both senses, like what wasn't constructed on solid ground, but also my own bones that lived beneath it and lived through all of these different fluctuations and cycles and had nothing to do with whether this person decided to pay me or whether this bill, you know, like it was like what actually endures. Like I started connecting to that because I was like, it's all freaking ephemeral. And yeah, so I don't know. I don't know if that's a good explanation.
But sounds like winter, right? Yeah. Like I bet a lot of people can relate because in, you know, even if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, Capricorn season is about just taking away all of the outer material to see what's at the core and letting some things die away to see what really matters, what is really in alignment. Sometimes during a strong Saturnian kind of moment, Capricorn is ruled by Saturn, we're going to kind of constrict and retract to see like what is at the core that we really need to have happen that's really in alignment with our soul and our growth. And it doesn't always feel like it happens by choice.
Right.
And so it's like what you've done with it to be able to say like, you know, at the end of it all, to see like I do get to choose what I want. I do have the authority with how I handle this and how I work with it and how I frame it. And then from there, I can now build the thing that's going to be a better fit.
Yeah.
Which brings us to Aquarius season.
Yeah.
So the rebuild.
Yeah.
So with Capricorn, we kind of break, we look at what exists. Maybe we build something up. Maybe we break something down. But with Aquarius season, we start to renovate, innovate, rebuild. Maybe there are more shocks to the system, that some revolutions. Mm-hmm. So what's your big message?
My big crazy image that came through. Well, there were a couple of intertwined ones, and you know, I won't get too deep into them because I'm sure they'll sort of play out through the rest of the episode. But the first thing that came through to me was, and I don't know if it just happens in the Peanuts Christmas special or it happens in other Peanuts like Peanuts the cartoon like movies. But it's the dance in the Christmas special where I think Schroeder's playing on the piano and like some of the main characters are like dancing around the piano, and you see them and they're all like, I think with the exception of the twins, there's twins and then there's everybody else, and each person, each character has a completely distinctive dance that they're doing like so hysterically so, you know, and they keep on in the groove of their move and Schroeder keeps playing. Everyone's listening to the same song, but there's this sense of like, do what you are and do it well, you know, and just literally that there's a collapse in the season between being and doing. That's just like bring more of what is sort of in your channel up and out. And so there was something to do with this Peanuts dance or any sort of image around a dance where I think that's the most kind of quintessential example where you see the same tune and then these like wildly different, but totally committed, a full commitment to the movement of difference within the context of this group. And then the second image I had, which was a little like came through in a little wonkier of a way, but was the concept of terroir. And it's kind of like whatever. In one sense, it's a very pretentious like winemaking term, you know, to talk about soil, geography, climate, this kind of gestalt of how wine grapes kind of come through the world and this their experience that colors them and, you know, that flavors them in a particular way. But I was thinking about like the experience of emotional terroir in people, like this notion that that we have these histories in our skin and that there's something about this season that connects us to just letting things come through the channel that are like seasoned by us, like almost like salt and peppered by us, or like that are flavored based on our experience, that there's nothing we need to extract or throw away or fix, or like we don't need to just like start afresh, like clear everything and like start brand new, but just like let our sort of channel open up to, I don't know, this will hopefully it'll come out a little more clearly throughout the course of our discussion, but letting our stories and our kind of histories season our offerings to the world.
I love that. I love that the terroir symbol is another way of saying, at least how I'm picking it up or interpreting what you're saying right now. It sounds like be yourself. Mm-hmm. And the first symbol sounds like be yourself.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like let it be, like really stand behind who you are, be committed to who you are, and allow that whatever it is that's coming through you, even if it's, you know, inspired by someone else, it's going to be unique because it's coming through you.
Right.
So you are, you know, go for it. Share your message. It's coming from you.
Yeah.
It's special. You're special.
Yeah.
It's so cool that your first symbol image is a cartoon, because mine was too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which, like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
We'll find
animation.
Out.
Animation.
Yeah. We'll have to study that. Mm-hmm. But mine, I'm like, I can't totally remember what it is, but it's this kind of, I mean, I'm a child of the 80s, and there was some Disney image sequence where there's like a crescent moon and then there's somebody kind of sitting in the crescent moon and maybe like fishing or like,
yeah,
maybe kind of there's like, maybe it's part of the intro to Disney.
Yeah, sounds familiar.
I'm foggy about what it is, but it's this idea of like sitting in the moon, very, you know, maybe there's some peaceful music or some inspiring music playing,
right,
or there's some sparkly stars.
Yeah.
And you're and when you're a kid, at least when I was a kid, that idea of like sitting in the moon, I was like, yeah, I could do that. You know, it's just, right, it's like part of what you're given. You're given all these like fantasy images by, right, you know, for in the 80s, it was like Rainbow Bright and like, you know, the Care Bears and,
yeah,
whatever I was looking at, She-Ra, He-Man,
She-Ra. God, I just had a like vivid image of my She-Ra doll and just like rubbing, yeah, her. Powering up by rubbing my She-Ra doll.
Yeah. Yeah. And like this stuff, you know, it just becomes part of, as a kid, your kid image of like what's possible or what you could do. You know, I was the moon, that kind of feeling of like, yeah, you could sit in the moon. Sure. It looks like a chair. No problem. So where I'm taking that with Aquarius season is like, what happens if you get out of the daily grinds, out of like all the stuff that's coming through your email inbox and like your, you know, oh, I got this to-do list, I've got to follow up with these people, whatever that stuff is. What if you do get out to sit in the moon and like maybe do some fishing or like check out the other stars that are up there? Like that's a perspective shift. There's a little imagination in there. There's a little bit of like almost, you know, maybe it's like we're almost getting into, Chiron is in Pisces this month. It's been in Pisces for a while, but it's about to leave Pisces. And so there's a little magic, a little fantasy here too. But I'm taking this symbol to mean like, get into the vision. If you have to use your imagination to get into that vision, what is ahead? Where do you want to go? What's your 2.0 of where you are at right now? Taking, you know, we can even feed off of your, you know, be yourself kind of theme, and like, be yourself, and then who are you becoming? Where are you going? You have to get out to sit on the moon a little bit and get out of the daily grind and get out of the like cause and effect land that you live in. To get into some of this vision, you have to take a step back. So that's the theme here that's coming through for me. And then there was a word that popped into my head too around it, and the word was refresh. So like, there is a new beginning here. Aquarius is where we renovate, we innovate. So the refresh, like, how do you get to feel more fresh in the processes that you're in?
Yeah. This concept of refreshing. Well, I feel like two things are coming through when you're speaking. I love this notion that it's not like this season doesn't feel like it's like, oh, pure, let's go on a crazy, fantastic trip into, you know, some other dimension. It's almost just like shifting the body, shifting the frame around the thing. You know, it's like, oh, there's this whole, the kind of underlying, it's, you know, kind of belief system. It's just like sort of change the frame around what the reality is, rather than like, oh, let's like have an escapist, you know, dip, total Piscean dip into, you know, the ether. But then the second thing, the word refresh, I was thinking about it a lot in connection to Aquarius's relationship to the tarot card of the star. And it's always been kind of a curious one to me, because the star is really this healing, replenishment, kind of cleansing card. And I was like, how does that, you know, it hasn't always been clear to me what the relationship is between Aquarius and that kind of energy. But then I was like feeling into almost a scooped out feeling that you get in the star card, where it's like, there's kind of nothing left to lose. Once we've been through this journey of the cards that precede it, we're kind of scooped clean. It's like any experience that you've had where you're like, poop, like something's been stripped away, and it's that moment where we start to come back to ourselves and that very core part of the self. It's like the aftermath of Capricorn season and whatever has been kind of swept. Not that Capricorn is necessarily this energy of like intense sweeping, like always, but this particular Capricorn season. And then it's like the Janis Joplin. It's like freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose, in the sense of like what you're saying. Oh yeah, like what have I been imagining as possible, and what could be when I build it on this sort of alternate ground after that scooping action has happened. And that idea of refresh or replenishment, not by, you know, excising or stuffing or saying, oh, everything has to go, but it's like, no, we were just down to this kind of core essence, and that container can hold something new. I don't know.
Yeah. So this Aquarius season is lasting from January 20th to February 18th. So we started out with a bang, a full moon total eclipse in Leo. That's on January 21st. In Eastern U.S. Eastern Standard Time at 12:16 a.m.
Yeah.
So what are you thinking about this moon?
Well, this moon has already got me like feeling before it happens. And, you know, I think it's just whatever. I mean, a lot of it's to do with my like personal astrology through the eclipse cycle that we've been experiencing, that's coming to a close with this one in Leo, and my natal moon's in Leo. And there's just been a lot of shit that's gone down the past few years around this cycle. So I think there's almost like, there's like a bittersweet anticipation of kind of the close of this. But on a non-personal level, I got the Peanuts image for this one for sure. But I also got this kind of like, almost this feeling of like, do it anyway. There's some hard aspects here between, Saturn and Mars, Saturn in Capricorn and Mars in Aries, between Mercury and Pluto, which are in Capricorn, and Uranus in Aries. You know, Aries and Capricorn are both these intense kind of get it done, like push it through kind of energies on one octave of expression. And then this Leo Aquarius dynamic kind of comes in, and it's kind of like, yeah, there was just this phrase of like, just do it well, do it anyway, just show up in the full fluorescence of the self. And then I also had this almost this image of like you know, wedding dances or any sort of like threshold kind of celebratory dance where people kind of show up and they're, you know, again, they're like, they've had whatever experiences they've had over the course of their lives and they just get onto the floor and it's like, fuck it, you know, like whatever, you know? And then it's like, even if you know these people in other contexts and other areas of life, there's something about the framing of this liminal kind of carnival space of like, oh, it's permissible to just be the extent of your being in this space. So there was kind of just this like, push it through, do it. And it doesn't like hard, soft, whatever. It's just like show up in your full selfhood. And then secondly, I was thinking a lot about this is kind of the inaugural event coming into Aquarius season and what that transition looks like between Aquarius and Capricorn. And we can talk about this, you know, more as we go on, but you know, as we, there's this kind of feeling of how do you get from one sign's energy to the other? And Capricorn Aquarius is a particularly charged one because it's like we're coming toward the end of the line now. And it's like in the tarot, we're moving from Capricorn, you know, being associated with Saturn, being associated with the world, the end of the major arcana, and Aquarius being associated with Uranus, the Fool, starting the whole cycle. So it's like, how do we get from the end to the beginning? Like, I was just feeling into that energy. Like, how do we take it all on and understand that there's difficulty and limitation and stress and closure and all of this kind of stuff? And then how do we like inhabit that space between a closure or between an ending or a limit that we've reached and the leap? And so that was what was coming through to me.
Amazing. I love the do it anyway. I want to really sit with that because there's something about, you know, just reflect back on your symbol. The Leo moon, there's some ego there, right? Like it's a big expression of like, this is me, see me, notice me, love me, my creativity. And sometimes the kind of slap back or repercussion of that is like, but am I good enough? And do I get to do my thing? And, right. You know, I'm so fragile. Yeah. And, like, I could get seen and they don't like it. And then it might hurt. And this do it anyway is, like, just do it anyway.
Yeah.
Like, Aquarius being, you know, the opposition in this wonderful high energy moment of the full moon, Aquarius is, like, you have to detach from that ego. And we're all really the same. We're all bozos on the bus.
Yeah.
We're all clowns in the clown car. You know, we're all just trying. We're here. We're doing stuff. We're trying.
Yeah.
You're not better or worse than anyone else, but just try it, you know? And so this do it anyway is so prescient. I love it. And my symbol is actually kind of similar. It was like, it was a bowling and this kind of like really like setting your sights on the pins. You know, I'm really stuck on this Aquarius season being about the vision.
Yeah.
Setting your sights on the pins and like gearing up for it and then throwing that ball and, you know, anything could happen. And the words that came into my mind were like, set them up, knock it down.
Set them up, knock it down. Yeah. You know? And that speaks to the relationship too between coming off of Capricorn into Aquarius. Mm-hmm. Because in many ways, Capricorn, Saturn is set them up.
Mm-hmm.
And Aquarius is not, Uranus is knock them down. But that those are two of the same, it works in the same kind of, they aren't antithetical to one another, those energies actually. I just went bowling for the first time in like years the other day.
Whoa.
And it was very interesting. It was actually, I think it's relevant to our discussion of this moon because I had this whole thing, I don't know, a lot of things that I like to do, even if I'm really bad, quote unquote, at them, I like to do with like a very personal Moon and Leo like signature flair. So I have this like notion of how I've always bowled and how I do this like little leap. And I've had this notion too that the leap helps in a particular way to get the, you know, that I'm, it also makes me better at bowling. And so I had this whole thing where I went bowling and I was doing the leaps like for the whole first, I guess, what is it called? Frame? The whole first frame, round, whatever. And I was just bombing like every time. Every time it was like gutter, gutter, gutter. But I was insistent on doing these wild leaps and like just like this is key to it. And then the second frame or the second round, I lost the leap because I was like, this is not working. And then I was just like strike, you know, spare. I was just like going for it. when I actually worked with what was and not, you know, softened a little bit, had some of that Aquarian detachment. But anyway, set them up, knock it down.
That is so on par for this conversation. The Leo moon goes bowling. Yeah. What happens?
What happens? And then the Leo moon gets schooled and has to, you know, submit to the Aquarius Capricorn.
Gets schooled by Saturn and Capricorn.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I also had the vision when this kind of like set them up and knock it down of, and do it well, of like Soul Train and kind of old school like dance where you have like a line of people and then someone dances through the center. And it doesn't matter. It's just like, bring it, you know, in the essence of your selfhood. Everyone's like cheering. There's no, it's not a competition. Well, maybe Soul Train was a competition. I don't remember. But that kind of like get into the center of the circle, do the dance, and then it's ephemeral and then it goes away, you know, and then it's next person in and we're all kind of contributing in that way.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, this is, you know, the nugget that just popped in my mind is like, maybe in Capricorn season there's some laboring about like, okay, well, I've got to do it right, or I've got to set it up, I've got to have my system, my plan. And now in Aquarius season, there's the opportunity to just have it flow through you, be in the flow a little bit more, let the electrical download come through and express it, and then move along with detachment. You don't have to be all wrapped up in the success of everything. You can just throw the bowling pin, and if you had set up that structure in Capricorn season, maybe you learned something that's just gonna now help you flow through, flow into it. Get in the middle of the dance floor and do the dance.
Yeah.
Just you don't have to overthink it all now. You can be a little sporadic, a little bit. Uranus is the ruler of Aquarius, and Uranus is all about just changing things up, being sudden, being spontaneous, making it happen. Surprise!
Yeah. It makes me think of, what was that dance? Maybe it was like a game or something when you were kids. It was like freeze. Freeze.
Oh, yeah.
And because I was, the other phrase that was coming through for me for this moon was making new shapes. Making new shapes. Just like, how can you make new shapes in your life? Like, with your energetic body, like coming into a situation and you might find your body steeled against it in a certain way, or you're like, oh, this is going to be the same old, I know what this person's going to do, and then I'm going to do this, and they're like, you've scripted everything. But that this moon's energy and the start of the season is really about your ability to make a new shape. And like, maybe it's just like one little tweak where you're going into a situation, you're expecting it to unfold exactly this way, and you make one adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
From your physical body, or one thing that you say, or whatever it is, and it's kind of like that freeze, and then like, then you make a new shape, and then you go again, and then I don't know, something evolves from there.
Fun. It's like those games, we did them because they were fun.
Yeah.
You know, and with fun, there's no resistance, and with fun, you're just in the flow. And Leo moon is all about having a good time, all about having fun. So January 21st, Leo moon. See what fun you can have.
A little lunar eclipse. Yeah, and remember that like play is, there has to be a trust in play that life is on our side. You know, to be able to play, to be able to say, I can inhabit this kind of boundaryless, you know, this space, there has to be an element of trust that it's like safe, that it's supported, to be able to kind of innovate in that way, or to suspend the kind of structure, the current structure for a moment, you know, that the entire world is not going to crumble beneath you if there's an innovation in the structure, there's an innovation in the shape, the current shape, you know. And then, yeah, and then off we go to kind of the lead up to the new moon, and we've got a few events happening. Mercury enters Aquarius on the 24th, and then the day before the new moon in Aquarius, on the 4th, Venus enters Capricorn.
The 3rd. So Mercury moving into Aquarius, this is going to be, I do notice, I've been charting my stars as I would.
great habit to get into.
You know me. And Aquarius season last year and the Aquarius full moon in the summer, I've been noticing a heightened political actions. And so with Mercury moving into Aquarius too, what happens is that our mindset, the way that we think, the words that we say, we'll be moving into the sign of Aquarius, which is means that, that all of that, the way we talk, think, it all starts to get filtered collectively through what can we do differently? What can we change? What do we need to revolutionize through, against, with, toward? You know, and we can find the strength in the collective. So, you know, if there's been some things on your mind that you're feeling like, hey, when am I going to go make a take a stance or use my power as an individual with a group and team up and do some protest or something? This is the season for that. I mean, this is like the time, you know, there are a lot of things happening in the world. We all have a lot of opinions and we tend to complain. You know, that's the tendency. Like, it's just a general thing. I'm being very general. But what are you going to do, right? And what, how are you going to, what's the vision? What's, yeah. What do you want to shift? What do you want to change? This, that's what I think of when I think of Mercury moving into Aquarius. We've got the sun in Aquarius. This is the moment for that message to come through. What is your message? What's your vision? What's your utopia? What do you think needs to change? What action are you going to take?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. Mercury and Aquarius, there was like two things that came through for me for Mercury and Aquarius. And on one level, I see, you know, Mercury is this planet of communication, of voice, of perception. And on another level, I've always kind of related to Mercury as almost like the kid sister, or like little, like tinier version of Uranus, in the sense of like the relationship to change. Like, Mercury to me is also about our ability to kind of make micro adjustments. If Uranus is these big kind of sweeping changes and these radical ruptures that kind of sweep through our lives, Mercury feels to me like this energy of like the shifting of the light, or just this kind of small, I feel like it relates into the its rulership of Virgo too in that way, the kind of daily innovation or the showing up to the moment just slightly differently, and connected to that energy of like the making new shapes, like just noticing like the micro adjustments that you can make. And maybe you're not ready for like a full-scale revolution right now in some aspect of your life, but even if there's one, you know, it could be like the slightest tweak. You know, you show up wearing a different color to a certain, you know, meeting, or you know, you choose just to swap out one word in your communication with a person who's always challenging for you, or whatever it is, like these kind of micro adjustments, and that you can really like whittle away at the, you know, the kind of big new shape that you're creating. And then the second thing that came through for me was the word translucence and translucency. And I think coming off of the Leo moon too, there is, when Leo energy is functioning at a high octave of expression, I think this kind of simplicity that happens, this kind of like, whoop, here's my essence, like here it is, like let's feast on it. And there's something about coming off of that energy and then coming into Mercury and Aquarius, where there's this kind of just sense of like, the more transparent and translucent that you can be, the less agitation there's going to be, you know, around like just fully trusting and kind of the essence and the root, and you know, all the work that you did in Capricorn season, perhaps around that. And that, yeah, just making things less opaque during this season in terms of communication, and being able to look through things in a certain way, getting at your strong visions of visions too, mm-hmm. for this.
I never thought about it that way. I love that. Aquarius is so logical, mm-hmm. and so objective, and wonderfully detached. When in the highest octave of the sign, it's like it can be scientific, yeah. and just like, let's just say it as it is,
right?
Let's just get right to the root. We don't need any drama.
Right.
Aquarius is a little awkward but drama free,
right?
Yeah. And then Venus in Capricorn, mm. so a lovely pleasurable planet moves into Capricorn. To help us find some grace in the system, some grace in the structure, to help us see like, okay, what softness can we bring to the plan? How can we find our beauty and harmony and peacefulness and relationships through having things set up well, through having some kind of structure that helps us in our relationships. You know, like my husband and I are like negotiating like how we're gonna buy groceries every week. You know, like, are we gonna use Instacart? Are we gonna buy like three things at Mr. Pina every day? Yeah. You know, and it's like, if we just had a structure or a system for that, there would be a lot of harmony, you know? Right. And so that's maybe going to happen during while Venus moves into Capricorn.
Right. Yeah, it's funny. The Venus in Capricorn was, I think, at the heart, in many ways, of my image of the terroir. Because it was like this idea of, you know, finding pleasure, too. Venus is this planet of relationship, but also sort of self-pleasure. And then relationship kind of coming out of what we fall in love with, you know, in the world, and then that breeding relationship. But this idea of like, of really kind of owning in this delicious way your story and your kind of flavoring and your flavor of experience that you have to bring to bear, you know, that you've like lived this whole kind of experience story, you've sweated your own sweat, you've, you know, cried your own tears, whatever it is, and you almost, you have this particular really kind of sinking into your own flavor of experience that no one else could have kind of lived the life that you have. But I was also thinking of it in relationship to, I was having a conversation with a friend the other day who was talking about, you know, she knows a little bit about astrology, but she was like trying to see what was going to happen, quote unquote, you know, when Saturn moved into her seventh house, because she's been having a Saturn sixth house experience of a lot of things with her health and her body. And she was like, what's going to happen? And, you know, for after I sort of disavowed her of the notion of astrology as like a predictive fortune telling thing, I was like, well, I think you're actually already in that energy, because, you know, the seventh house related to Libra, related to Venus, and then Saturn related to Capricorn. So this is kind of related to Venus entering Capricorn. She was already like, I was watching her like swipe on Tinder and some other dating apps. And she was just like swiping. I don't even know what it is. Is it when you go left, you discard somebody?
I think so.
All right. So... Actually not. I have not used dating apps, but she was just swiping like crazy, swiping left, like discard, discard, discard. And, you know, I'm not as familiar with the apps, obviously, but I was like, oh, that person, she looks nice. Like, what do you, I, and she just like, go, go, go. But it is this energy too of Venus in Capricorn of like some discernment. Some like, I have a certain level of maturity and understanding what I find to be pleasurable, who I want to let into my world, you know, my lair. And I'm just like, nope, no. No. It's like hard no's and hard yeses in relationship and in relationship to what actually like really makes us feel good, you know? So yeah, I think she's doing the work already, just swiping left like a mad woman.
And so on February 4th, right after Venus moves into Capricorn, we get our next big lunation, which is the new moon in Aquarius.
Lunation. Love that word.
I know. It's got such a great sound. Really. Anything does. With a shin, I know, at the shin. End.
Yeah, especially with like Aquarius Revolution, lunation.
Ocean.
Yeah, it feels like a 1960s musical number. Ooh, ready to.
That's
ready
our next project. Yeah. A musical about the moons?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
All right. Tell us if you like that idea, guys.
Yeah, we'll hire someone to make it. Because I don't think I'm the one for that one.
Sing a note.
Speaking of that, just a small segue. Actually, it's perfect for the new moon in Aquarius. One of the big things about Aquarius season is that you have a ton of ideas coming in. I like to think of like anything having to do with Aquarius. I don't know why I have this image. It's so weird. But it's like I imagine like pushing around like a trough to catch like the rain that's falling. Yeah. And the rain is the ideas. And so you have to just think of yourself as pushing around a trough. And it's like, what, there's the channels are open. I think of this as like being connected to the collective consciousness, which is some big cloud where all the ideas live and they drop down like raindrops.
Oh, wow. I really and love that.
So this season, throughout the whole season, but maybe especially at this new moon in Aquarius, like what are these ideas coming through? We just had a great idea to make a musical about the moon cycles. And like, somebody is going to make that musical because that idea is still going to bounce around because we're not going to do it. But like,
yeah,
you know, like, what ideas do you want to catch in your rain trough and how do you catch them, right? So this is where a little Venus in Capricorn or Saturn in Capricorn energy could be useful. Do you have a book where you write them down? Do you have a Google Doc? Like, do you come back to those ideas? Like, when you have ideas, do they just slip through your fingers? If so, maybe that's fine. Maybe you don't need to do all the ideas. But when you have so much creativity coming through, there needs, you know, it's like that creativity that can then be put into motion. You know, maybe it gets put into motion later in the year during Aries season. Mm-hmm. But for now, you're just kind of collecting. So... yeah. Be open.
Yeah. I love this rain trough. I'm really going to some places with this rain trough. But there's this feeling, and I was feeling it when you were speaking. And then when I had looked at the charts, I was feeling this, almost this feeling of like relief that we don't have to stand at the center of the entire process at this moon. That there's something, there's this transition from the Leo energy that starts the season into this Aquarius energy where we felt into the essence. We have let our whatever our wine grapes be flavored by the soil and topography, and then there can be this kind of just relief of like, I don't have to, it's not all kind of riding on my selfhood, you know. And I love that image that you're putting forth too, where it's like you might not even know at that point the things that you're catching, what their purpose, like ultimately what they're going to seed, you know. And it might be for another season, but that there doesn't need to be this scrambling around it. Like, there's no scrambling around, like, this is my song, here I am. And it's almost like I thought of the image of a symphony when I looked at the chart for this moon. And, you know, this, there is a certain, if you're a soloist, I guess, I mean, I don't know, I don't play any instruments, but like, I imagine if you're a soloist in a symphony orchestra, obviously there's a little bit of an anticipation as you're getting toward your solo, you know, or your moment where the oboe comes in or whatever it is. But what do you do with the time where you're either, you know, resting and other people are, you know, amplifying their voices, or you're part of the collective? And it's really what this moon feels like. And I love that image, you know, in conjunction with that of this rain trough. And it's just like there's just things out in the collective, and all you have to do is just be kind of available to them as that channel, rather than like pushing and self and what is me Bess Matassa gonna bring into the world, like, who cares, you know? Who really cares? There's a certain element of that. It's like, if you do it and do it well and do it anyway and at that full moon, and then it's like, you know, give it up and turn it loose,
yeah,
like, to a higher law.
Yeah. And that's so Aquarius to kind of like step back from the ego, like, oh, it's all about me. It's like, no, actually, the ideas come through. You might grab one. You might put it into motion. But if you release the ego around it, you actually also release some of the resistance. You release some of the fear. Because it's like, it's coming through. Fine. Something else will come through later. It's not all so important.
Yeah.
It's all kind of equal.
I was thinking, too, with this new moon, and, you know, we're going to have on the 18th, just before the sun goes into Pisces. Well, I mean, getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but that this new moon is the last lunation that's going to happen with Chiron and Pisces for quite some time. And I kept thinking about that. I don't know the exact quote, but I think it's like Hamlet, some Shakespeare, where it's like, there are more things in heaven and earth that are dreamt of in your philosophy, something like that. But this notion with Pisces Aquarius is super out. I mean, it's as out there as we can possibly get. And returning to your image of like, the framing or adjusting, sitting in the moon, you know, kind of inquiring around what might be possible, even if those micro shifts, those whatever relationship to change you've had over the course of the month, like, this is a moon for seeding that sense of, you know, kind of Aladdin, a whole new world, whatever, a new kind of framing or a new kind of underpinnings, and looking at where just the boundaries of your dreaming, or where you've placed boundaries around, you know, that kind of sense of possibility.
Yeah, anything is possible. My symbol for this was going through a tunnel, like underground tunnel, and going toward the light. So there's like a big light up ahead, and there's this feeling of like you know, there's a trek, there's a journey here. There's a little bit of friction at this new moon with Pluto square Mars. There's some work. There's some, what's the word I want to use? You know, it's a little bit of a battle in some moments. We're letting things go. So that's the idea with the tunnel. But you're going toward the light, which is about going toward that vision, going toward the new realm, and maybe you're not totally sure what's up ahead. As you're talking about, Bess, like, what, you know, you're going toward this kind of new realm. There's some healing that's happening as you go through the tunnel with Chiron rounding up the end of its time in Pisces. We have to confront some ancient collective pains. You know, part of the pain of being in a human body that gets passed down from generation to generation. It's on us right now to heal some of that. It's very ephemeral. It's hard to put a finger on it. You don't really know what you're healing because maybe it was someone else's experience 200 years ago, but it's still in your DNA. And so down in this tunnel, you're working, you're trekking. You don't, there's, you know, it's not, it's a little bit unclear exactly what you're going to come into next, but you've got your sight on the vision.
Yeah. This sense of that tunnel and that, like, channel, you know, I was thinking too, another kind of visual I had for this moon was almost, I don't know what those narratives are called when someone's like it's like a trope when someone gets like shipwrecked, like cast away or whatever, and then you're just like all alone on like a desert island mm-hmm. with your own resources or whatever, which is kind of a, you know, a Capricornian image in some ways. But I had this notion with this moon of like, what can be unmapped, demapped? What territories do you think that you know in your life, you know, that you've you know, identified the elevations of and the particular things that are growing of, whatever emotional area of your life that you're like, nah, I know that turf. This is a moon for demapping, for somehow erasing some of those contour lines or, you know, whatever you've drawn, whatever you've identified as like, here lies this, or this is where this is, or whatever that is. And I feel like it connects to this idea too of like what we're carrying that we don't even know that we've been carrying, and making that kind of what you're talking about with like DNA and things that have preceded you and pain, the pain of a human body, and coming in with like certain things already embedded, like in your blood, in your bones. And I feel like this is a really powerful moment for not tossing those out, but just sort of looking at where there might be assumptions about the territories that live in you that might be ripe for questioning, or some erasure of the lines, or some, you know, I don't want to like get into neo-colonialist discourse about discovering new lands or anything, but like this sense of like, how can you arrive at what you think of as the same landscape in a way that demaps some of the harder edges of the territory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a big step to do that, because what you have to do in order to make that leap is let go of what you think you already know.
Yeah.
And that's pretty scary.
If anyone can do it, it's Aquarius, the Fool. Yeah. Big leap. Leap yeah. without a net. Yeah.
Yeah, it's time for the leap. It's time to get that whole new template, the whole new map, the D-map.
Yeah.
That's super profound. So on February 10th, shortly after this new moon, I guess it's 6 days after, Mercury enters Pisces. So Mercury was in Aquarius for just a short time, about 16 days. And that means that Mercury is moving pretty quickly. Doesn't go retrograde again until March. So it's like moving right along, fast and furious. And so you said your piece when Mercury was in Aquarius. You know, you got more subtle and translucent. And now Mercury moves into Pisces. And Chiron is also still in Pisces for just another couple days. And so we're starting to bridge, in one way, we're starting to kind of bridge into Pisces season. Of course, we're still in Aquarius season. And we're bringing in more and more of the magic. And we're also bringing in a lot more emotion, which is something that we have to sit with And if we don't sit with it, then we'll do compulsive things because emotion is, you know, it's a lot. So
emotion is a lot. God.
So noticing, you know, are you trying to escape or are you feeling the feelings? Are you letting yourself be in the tunnel and keep feeling the unknown, sitting with it, sitting with the feelings, or are you escaping?
Yeah, I feel like anything I want to say about Mercury in Pisces almost like washes itself away. It's very like performative of the actual energy because in Mercury we're trying to communicate on one level in a, you know, hopefully a clear way or an effective way. And Mercury in Pisces is like, you know, just sort of like it's like invisible ink or something where you're like writing and it's washed. And, you know, so there's a certain element of on the one hand, there's a certain amount of a certain element of surrender to that process. And on the other hand, like you're saying, it's like interrogating some of the escapist narratives or some of the unsaid things. Like, how do you both sit with the mystery and also know like the moments to clarify? I don't know. Mm-hmm. This dance of Mercury and Pisces, that's, you know, but I feel like too, Mercury and Pisces also comes through as kind of a balm of allowing, where it softens the hard edges of judgment. It softens the hard edges of like, oh, well, this person's doing this, and so this means this, or I'm doing this, and God, why am I doing this? You know, like this whole kind of buzz of the internal narrative, it softens some of the contouring around that. So there can be this opportunity with Mercury in Pisces too to adopt some radical stances of less judgment or just noticing when things don't need to be analyzed or don't need to be assessed, and how often we go about assessing, even if it's very, very subtle, basically everything we're doing all day. You know, every time we like look in the mirror and are assessing our face or like, you know, saying something and then having this like weird feeling after we've said it about how it's being received or whatever it is in your life where you kind of have this running narrative or inner critic. This is a really sweet time to let that critic take a, you know, take a little hiatus,
yeah,
to a certain degree.
Yeah. The highest octave of this is just like pure love and a remembrance of interconnectedness and that, you know, we're all somehow connected. And so compassion is the only answer. And so holding that in the front of your mind as something to intend or set your sights upon during this time is really beautiful and helpful.
Yeah.
I love what you said about Mercury and Pisces being hard to articulate. For so many years, I would talk about Pisces and just kind of start mumbling and like, you know, I finally have some more words for it, but I do find that when I speak about each of the different signs, I kind of take on some of the energy of that sign.
Yeah.
And Pisces is nonverbal. It's the primordial sea.
Yeah.
It's the all of the, we go through into another dimension and we speak without words.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there really is, you know, obviously we're trafficking words here and this is a podcast, but as we've said before, like a lot of the signs' energies, they take on different sensory forms, you know, and Pisces is not. Yeah, it's for, it reminds me, well, I guess it's not surprising, that it reminds me of a poem, but I can't really say I used to be a poet. Yeah, maybe I can. I used to write a ton of poetry, and I remember a poem that I wrote in college, and it just started, it was all about, because I was playing with, you know, I was like a language student, so I was learning a lot of different languages, and I was playing with the idea of untranslatability, you know, and I think that the opening line of the poem was, there are things that remain untranslatable, even something, something. Anyway, but this is like a energy of the untranslatable, Mercury and Pisces, you know, and how do you kind of sit with that energy of things that might not be able to be articulated through words or might not even be representable in form, you know, that kind of formlessness in your relationship to those kinds of mystical channels. Does it make you feel wildly uncomfortable? Does it make you feel super excited that you're going to go on this like, you know, trip away from reality or whatever you want to call it? Just noticing your relationship to things that can't be kind of locked down or pinned down or structured in that way.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a heightened creative time as well for that week from February 10th to February 18th. I mean, it's creative too when the sun moves into Pisces, but Aquarius and Pisces together It's like if you can let yourself somehow go into the other dimensions with your mind and be imaginative and daydreamy and having time to refresh and recharge. And then you can also push around that rain trough and collect the ideas, like some super creative notions could come through. Yeah. So on February 14th, Mars enters Taurus. And so all the personal planets are changing signs. And Mars is your engine, your car. I like to think of it as how you're going after what you want. And Taurus is a super stable, grounded earth sign, very sensual and physical. And so now we can have, you know, maybe we're suddenly like drawn down from the sky for a little bit, or at least it helps us kind of start to look at the physical body, the physical world. What are we doing with our money, with our resources? This is right on Valentine's Day, I just noticed. Mm-hmm. That's a great thing for Valentine's Day. A lot of sex.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of physical. Taurus, Mars and Taurus just wants to touch.
Yeah.
Bodies against bodies.
I remember I had a partner years ago who was, I think it was both Venus and Mars and Taurus. And he literally would like lie on top of me and just squash me. Like he just didn't want, it wasn't even, I mean, it was like beyond sexual, but it was just like, he just didn't want me. He just wanted me to know that I was just there. We were just like body to body. But I always think about Mars and Taurus as almost like the like country song, like an energy of like a country, like a 70s, like Waylon Jennings, just one of these like 70s era kind of classic country crooners. And how can you sort of approach life from that stance? Like these kinds of songs and energies of music that are just like super rooted and rustic and like know the land on which they stand and are very direct, straightforward in the action, but also super sensual and kind of rooted in this earthy way of acting that's all connected to kind of worthiness and value. And maybe that image didn't entirely work, but whenever I see Mars and Taurus, planets and Taurus in general, but especially Mars and Taurus, I hear like Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson. Actually, I think Willie Nelson was a Taurus, but and Waylon might have Mars and Taurus. Anyway, this kind of sense of action that comes from a really stable place, from a real stable sort of central core, and action that feels good to take in the body, you know, really tapping into movement through the world, not that like the antithesis of agitation or scrambling or just this like foot in one foot in front of the other, really like feeling the delight of your feet on the earth and only kind of moving or making an action, you know, affecting an action in the world when there's that sense of full body participation.
So this is bringing us now to the final moment of this podcast, which is something we've been building toward the whole time, which is Chiron moving into Aries.
Oh.
Yeah. So I just looked it up. Chiron is in Aries from, first of all, we had a little dip into Aries in 2018 where Chiron moved into Aries and then went retrograde and moved back into Pisces. But now it's moving into Aries finalement. For a while, it's going to be in Aries until 2027. Okay, so
great.
You know, towards the end of that, it will go dip into Taurus and then come back into Aries, but it's finally in Aries until April 2027, and that's because Chiron has a really erratic orbit. It orbits out between Saturn and Uranus, and it has a really elliptical orbit. It's a minor planet, which we call an asteroid, but it's no longer actually an asteroid, and it is because of that erratic orbit, it does spend a lot of time in Aries. So it's in Aries. It's going into Aries, February 18th. It's a big deal. You're gonna, if you're into astrology, you're probably gonna read a lot about this on the interwebs. But Chiron is the wounded healer. It shows what we need to really pay attention to in our lives, in our communities, where we really are having some old wound that has been existing, that's maybe at different moments, we get triggered by that wound, But because it's such a deep wound, I think, Bess, you and I have different opinions about Chiron, but we'll see. I am in the camp that you can heal the Chiron wound.
So I don't think that we're dissimilar in this. I think it's maybe like a semantics thing. Because for me, I think maybe I almost take Chiron out of the dynamic of like wound and heal. Because to me, it's almost like it needs a new system that's not like a, oh, there's a problem and then we're going to treat it and then we're going to like come out the other side of this kind of linear, not that that's what you're saying at all, but when I think about wound and heal, I think like, okay, there's some sort of fixing. And for me, Chiron feels like if it's a wound or a tender place, it's the gateway to our humanness. It's like this sense of like, not everything can be solved, quote unquote, or not everything needs to be seen on a trajectory between like a problem and a solution. Or, you know, it's almost like I feel like Chiron in the chart just wants to be sat with and abided with at the side of. And in that sense, I think I don't think of it as being healed. I think about it as being just sort of like we move alongside it or with it. And then that becomes the gateway to a greater sense of, you know, empathetic humanness. And also like, it's almost like that old adage of like, the thing that you feel is most broken in you is actually what you're here to bring forward, so that it doesn't actually need to be sorted, quote unquote. Not saying that's what you're saying, but that's the thing. But I think we're on the same page.
Yeah,
actually.
No, I really like that. Yeah, I think you're right 100% that heal and wound are a little binary in a way. Like it's a different binary than what this Chiron energy is showing. Like, here's an issue. This issue is a major key issue for you to be working with and evolving, so that at some point what you thought was a pain point becomes a strength. And then that strength is something that you can give back because you've really kept your attention on it throughout your lifetime. And at different moments, you've gotten to see and flesh out the experience of it in such a powerful way because it's been something that's such a focus for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so here we're talking about Aries energy, and Aries is the first sign. It's the sign that says, I am alive, I exist. And so the wound, if you want to use that word, or the theme is like, do you get to be in life form? Do you get to live? Do you get to express yourself? Do you get to have freedom? Do you get to have agency, autonomy? Are like deep personal human freedoms,
our
rights, human rights. This is that. That's how I see this.
Yeah, totally. It's that, that theme that we spoke a little bit about during Capricorn season too, where it's like, you know, how much rent do you feel like you have to pay to exist? You know, and Aries says none. Like I get to be here because I've incarnated, and there's at its highest octave of expression, there's total trust in that. It's like, boop. Here I am, you know, up through the pavement cracks, out I come, out through the birth canal, whatever it is. And like, where in your life, it's a powerful beginning of an era where we're going to be questioning or feeling into where in our lives we may not believe that we have a right to exist, or we're functioning from a place where we feel like we've got to put all of this like input into the whatever, pay the rent into the existence, you know, rather than starting from the place of, here I am, you know, rock you like a hurricane. This is very Aries anthem.
Yeah, so what do you do with this now on the last day of Aquarius season? You know, probably not. You know, this is going till 2027. But just keeping in mind that the theme moving forward, it's going to be about, like, you getting to know deep within your heart of hearts on some deep level that, like, yeah, you deserve to be, you're worthy to be here, and you don't have to pay rent. I love that. You don't have to pay any rent to be alive. You get to take up your space, and so does everyone else.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why this move is finally happening on the last day of Aquarius season, because Aquarius is about the many with a capital M. So it's not just you, right? It's not just your opinion isn't the only opinion in the world.
Yeah.
We share.
But the more you inhabit your space in a non-agitated way, the more it's, you know, it's just natural that the forest is able to exist around you. Everyone's able to kind of get the sunlight. And I feel like it's really powerful that Chiron is moving into Aries in a moment where we're going to see Uranus in, I think, March, moving back into Taurus, or into Taurus, forward into Taurus. And this kind of revolution, too, about the way we inhabit a body and, you know, kind of our worthiness and our value. So a really powerful confluence of factors that's starting at the end of the season.
Woohoo!
Woo!
More to talk about next time.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And you can look forward to another episode of the AstroCast at the beginning of Pisces season, roughly about a month from now. And in the meantime, continue to follow the Now Age, if you're so inclined, which is the podcast that this is a part of with Numinous founder Ruby Warrington, where she has mystically real conversations with amazing people every week. And yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for spending this time with us, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Thank you, Bess and Sandy, for that enlightening discussion. I just love listening to those ladies talk about astrology. I'm so happy I get to work with them. So I mentioned earlier that we have some exciting announcements for you. And the first thing to let you know about is that Bess Matassa is going to be starting a monthly Astro and Tarot masterclass in a lesson format that you can join as a webinar from anywhere in the world. The first one is going to be happening just after the Aquarius new moon, so the week of February 4th. Look out across our social media channels. If you subscribe to our newsletter, you'll be getting informed about it there as well. And it's going to be an opportunity to really dive a bit deeper into the teachings of Astro and Tarot so you can begin to use these tools more for yourself and in your own practice. As well as that, there are tons more fun, sober curious events being planned for New York, LA, and London, as well as a few spots left on my Sober Curious retreat, which is happening at Kripalu the weekend of February 15th to 17th. So again, you can get all of the information about that posted across our social media channels, and we'll be sharing more on our newsletter about those events also. We really, really do love meeting you guys in person, whether it's online via webinars or at our live events. So really hoping to see you at something in person soon. Thanks again for listening, and see you next week. This podcast features original music and is edited by alloaudio.com. www.alloaudio.com